Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 565. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I hate all these random women in bars who always come up grinding on you. Little to the left, man. right there, yeah.
What is going on here?
Tony's a distraction to this pod.
Was here.
That's the greatest coach you're talking about.
Say hello, Earl.
Oh, I didn't hear Earl. much like Instagram and Facebook, I'm going to have some downtime this week, so just bear with me.
Jeff?
Happy Metroid day, night, eve. I don't know how we're supposed to concentrate right now.
We have a job to do.
Beer, and Jeff. Beer.
Yes, concentrate with beer.
I need to stay, like, relatively, you know,
is that what
good.
You think, water?
So I could play, you know.
Do you, though?
Do you? Yeah, I want to play Metroid.
And he wants to play it well, not...
Oh.
Not
how Jeff normally plays.
Not fall asleep in the first 10 minutes on the couch, wake up at 4 in the morning.
Hey, that's how you fade cruising, right?
We have a special guest that ties into Tony's insane rambling intro that he gave himself. Fozzie has joined us.
I forgot where my car keys were for the past 10 years. I found them. I'm back. Hello, welcome. My God, you guys are almost close to 600. That's crazy.
Shit, this podcast has been going for 10 years, hasn't it?
And that's just your age.
This is the 12th year we've been doing this, Tony.
Oh, it's only 12.
I feel like we should be honored by somebody, like recognized. I want some recognition.
By an insane asylum.
Just make real recognizes real.
Urban Meyer should recognize us.
Oh, baby.
I don't know if we want that type of attention, but to us.
What's everybody drinking tonight?
Yes, before we get into
this. Here we go, this again.
Yeah, Jeff, why don't you kick us off?
Yes, tell us what you're drinking, Jeff.
I'm drinking a Miller Lite. I did drink some good beer this week, actually, but not tonight.
Not tonight. Not on Metroid Eve night.
No, you gotta stay level-headed.
Exactly. Cool. Smart man. I'll drink some Ronnie Air with you, which is the Pacific Northwest beer of choice.
All right. Sounds
pretty
good.
Much, it's pretty much Miller Lite.
All right.
Great.
Like Pacific Northwest Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, say, like a little bit better, but not by much.
Is it more expensive than Miller Lite?
Well, you can't get much cheaper.
They're probably on par with the same. Yeah,
I don't know. They're creeping up here. Like, it's like almost like $20 for a case.
Mm-hmm.
That's still just an advantage. Yeah.
Like, what's a case constitute for you, Jeff? Like, 24 cans?
Yeah, I don't usually buy them, but yeah, I usually buy a 12er, which is like economically dumb because they're
more expensive.
More.
Yeah,
but it's at the point now where there's like almost like a dollar of difference. It doesn't even. I think like a case of beer, like, you know, 24 pack is like $18.99. Like it's not much of a difference.
I'm like spending that much on a beer.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but your beer gets you fucked up, and it's so for the same price you're still getting drunk. You're just
there's probably the same amount of alcohol
drunk.
In it too.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's the rub. And one actually probably tastes like something.
That's right.
Tony, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Hop Fest, which is a double IPA from Silver Branch Brewing, which is a block from me. So local, drink local.
Well, then I'm in on this competition tonight. I am drinking an Okats. It has an actual name that they even say is hard to pronounce. It comes from St. Louis, Missouri, and it is from the Urban Chestnut Brewing Company. Thank you, phone. It's actually, I mean, I'm finding that I'm actually really enjoying these these Oktoberfest beers. They have like this nice taste to them. It's like it's not. It's just nice.
Yeah, I've had like 6 or 7 this fall. Like, I'm really into Oktoberfest right now. It's a good style of beer.
Yeah. Why don't we have this all year round?
Right? It's much better than a normal lager. Like, it actually has flavor.
Damn, that's true.
Fair. I am drinking an Imperial Stout brewed by Pontu Brewing Company out of Sandy Springs, Georgia, called Black is Beautiful.
Oh, I had that one.
Yeah, I've had that too.
Gold medal winner.
Good stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, beer is being ingested. And we played a bunch of games this week. Well, at least I know I did. I know Tony played some stuff. Jeff, you played some Monkey Balls.
I mean, I played a bunch of stuff, but you heard a lot about them last week, I guess. But yeah, I played Monkey Ball too.
Good man. Tell us about the Monkey Balls.
So, I mean, I'm sure you guys are aware of what it is. It's, you know, kind of... No? Okay.
Actually, I have no idea. I saw some clips you posted. It looked like you were in like a little ball. And I've never played Monkey Ball.
What?
Never played Monkey Ball.
That is...
What? This is a revelation.
Yeah, I am shocked. It was... I guess it depends on how big you want the GameCube.
I felt like that was I think that was the very first game I played on the GameCube the night I got it. Monkey Ball is like, it's a bunch of mazes levels where you're trying to get to the goal line. And then there's a bunch of mini games.
Like what I saw of you playing, it looked like kind of like maybe like Marble Madness or something like that.
Yeah, I think that was what it used to be compared to.
Okay.
But
you're basically trying to navigate the monkey and the ball to the end goal, and like these are narrowing paths. It's, you know, like they have moving platforms. They can go up and down side to side. Some of them are vertical. It's all about momentum and speed and not like overshooting and stuff like that. Even though, again, if you get really good, a lot of speedrunners will do it where like they will kind of just like you touch the ground like twice and you just bounce with the momentum. It's a ton of fun and it's even better. I mean, I think the core game is great, but like one of the big things for me when it originally came out, it has a ton of great mini games. I think Monkey Target is one of the big ones that a lot of people always enjoy. And that's very similar to, like, you know, you roll, you get momentum, you just try to navigate to. It's kind of like golf range driving, whatever that's called.
Driving range?
There we go.
You had all the words.
It's in there. It's in there somewhere.
But how is the remake collection anniversary edition?
So it takes all the levels from the first two games, and like the best mini games from the first two games, completely redone in terms of graphics and all that. Actually, new music. This is like how you want to see a remake done. More unlockables. Like you could put Sonic the Hedgehog in a ball. You could, I don't know. There's a few other people like
Sonic.
Well, yeah. Sonic, there is, I think, Hello Kitty's in it.
Fantastic.
That might be one of the paid DLCs.
Is there Yakuza, too? I thought I heard.
Yeah, the guy from Yakuza.
I believe all the Sega consoles are in it.
Yeah.
You play with the Genesis?
Yeah.
Not the Genesis. The Dreamcast, the Game Gear, and the Saturn. I have no idea why there's not Genesis.
No Genesis. Yeah, they're, isn't like, that weird? Probably their most popular system.
Yeah.
Probably he's doing a lot of work there because I don't know what would be the dispute. I have the Dreamcast, but there's no arguing that the Genesis is easily their most popular system.
So, yeah, as you play through it, you get points and you could use those to unlock those characters. You could unlock different modes. Like, there's one mode I unlocked called like Original Stage Mode, which I guess it's just a collection of stages that have not been altered in any way, even though like the stages I've played, they're kind of how I remember them. And like, I didn't get past the first level of that. Cause I'm guessing it's like a lot of the harder stages. You can unlock costumes and stuff. So it has like, it's just a nice repackaging of like the games that are remembered fondly in the series. And, you know, kind of think, you know what I would compare it to is like kind of like how Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 was, kind of like that.
The new one that just came out?
Yeah. Huh. But there is like the main story mode is kind of a remix of all the levels. Like, it's like they're not in like the order that you would have played them back in the day. Like, they just, I don't know, it's a different order. But you can, there's like a challenge mode where you could essentially play through Super Monkey Ball 1 and Super Monkey Ball 2 separately in the like regular stage order. And that's it. I mean, I'm enjoying it. It's really cool. I really love especially these first two games. But one thing I noticed playing these levels now again is like a lot of them are just super fucking bullshit. Like, it's just like,
oh yeah,
it's just like you literally just have to play it over and over until you just get fucking lucky. So like, I don't know if you saw one of the videos I posted, Chris, it's like you basically had to fall from above onto the goal. So it's just like you just got to do it over and over again so you get lucky. I actually bounced off a goal, off the goal when I was doing this, and then like flew through the air to this like little island, and like I got lucky and landed on it, and there's a little bridge you could go across to get back towards the goal. Like, I, that was after probably trying that stage, I don't know, 40, 50 times, and it's just, you just got to do it till you get lucky. And the, you know, I remember that there was stuff like that, but it's kind of surprising the number of levels that are like that. Especially when you're playing through the main story mode, since it's not in the normal order, like you're getting some of the hard stages early on. So yeah, I mean, the game is a little more luck based than I remember. Although, even though I say that, like Earl said, you see people that like play this game and really mastered it. So maybe I just suck. I don't know. And the mini games, which were like a huge highlight back in the day, and there's probably like a dozen here. There's probably only a couple, in my opinion, that are really still worth it. Earl mentioned one, Monkey Target. I always loved that. Everyone always loved that one. That one too, like, and I remember this back in the day. It's like sometimes it just feels like you lose altitude and just crash into the water for reasons I don't understand. but other people I remember were like better at it than me, so I don't know.
I think I remember that too from back in the day.
Yeah. It's just like, what did I do? I'm doing everything. I don't understand why I'm just like losing, like falling way short of getting to the mm-hmm. targets. The bowling is pretty cool for what it is. It's a little different than other bowling and other video games. Billiards is decent. I'm trying to think what else I thought was kind of good. A lot of it, though, is like, you're never going to play. Like, I don't know. I just, part of me wonders, like, how well these minigames really hold up. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried some of them out, but I'm like, when people come over, are they going to be like, oh, let's do that? I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, I was surprised they didn't add online to any of the minigames.
Yeah, it's old school, local only. I don't know. I think this is a good package, though, and there's enough there
for the good price. Introduction for somebody that's never played Monkey Ball.
I can't believe you've never played these games.
Oh, it's so good.
I've never played them either.
So good.
Well, I mean, you that doesn't surprise me.
Chris, like, I know you like arcade style games. Like, this is totally what it is, and I think it might have its roots in the arcade.
I think it was originally an arcade game. Yeah.
Which is probably why people were surprised to find out it never came out on the Dreamcast. Like, it's originally a GameCube game.
Where are the World Conquest Grand Strategy minigames? I want to know that. When they're bringing those in play.
There's one where you punch each other and try to knock each other off the stage.
All right, that's closer.
Monkey Fight. That's also a good one. Like, a lot of it was, I mean, at the time, it was just really stressed out Mario Party minigame.
But it's like, I think that stuff had more legs at the time. Like, you really think nowadays, like, you're going to be playing Monkey Fight with your friends? I don't know.
Well, again, I think it varies. Like, again, like, for me, Monkey Ball was very much I was in high school and then college, so it was very easy to kind of get people around to do that stuff. Where, yeah, to your point now, that's why, again, I'm surprised it doesn't have online. It seems like it would be right. It would be perfect for it. And those games are a lot more meaty than the Mario Party ones, where I kind of got, you don't want, Super Mario Party had online mini games for a while, but you don't want to do it where the mini games are all like 30 seconds. Right? These can go on for a while.
Yeah, some of them, for sure. Like, you know, bowling or billiards. Monkey. Billiards can be done in 2 minutes, too, I guess. But
Or even Monkey Fight, because, like, with Monkey Fight, because I don't know how good people are at navigating that space.
There's, like, Monkey Race, kind of, I don't know, kind of like Mario Kart-ish, right? Not as good, but it's just the sheer amount and the variety. But I think, like, Chris, if you got it, I think for sure you would dig, like, the main game. Levels,
and it's cheap. It's a budget game. It looks like it's $40. So
yeah, that's, you know, like I said, it's a full redo on the graphics and a whole new soundtrack. Although you can switch to the old soundtrack if you want.
It's also what, the first two games, roughly speaking.
Yeah, so you have like over 300 levels if you could actually get through them. We'll see how far I'll get, but.
Well, maybe I will add this onto my wish list, and I'll keep an eye on it.
Goes on sale. Not that October needs more games for you to buy.
Exactly. Yeah.
One cool change that is very welcome, in my opinion, is that there's no more lives. I think there was lives like you could like run out of, like trying to make it through the 30 levels on medium and whatever, and. You know, you run out of lives, and you're like, oh, shit. Like, here, it's just like you could just die as many times as you want on a stage. That's very welcome, because, like, some of these stages, you just, like I said, you're going to die dozens of times on some of the stages. Yeah, that's Monkey Ball. I think it is a really good, you know, redo of the games that people liked.
Nice. I think I will keep an eye on that one.
Do it.
You play anything else, Jeff? That you all want to talk about.
All the stuff that told you about last week, you know, a little Diablo.
Oh, maybe. That's,
yeah, that's been hard though because, you know, mainly trying to play with my friend and my girlfriend,
uh-huh.
getting us all together, even online, sometimes can be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my girlfriend cheated last night, and when I had a little bit of.
Wait, you cheated on your girlfriend? That's all I caught.
No.
Cheated with her.
But how do you cheat with your girlfriend? I don't understand how that works.
It's very. I'll tell you about it later.
Details.
I'm not gonna go any further on that. But
were swords crossed? Is that what happened? I don't know.
Anyways. What was I saying?
You went a little bit ahead in Diablo 2.
Yeah. And, but, you know, we told our friend that we did this behind his back. We told him. And he's okay with it because we could help, you know, pull him along. Like, I still think that game. It's one of those games that's like, I'm kind of happy that we're going through it slow and like, just kind of savoring it. It's fucking fantastic. But
Fozzy, that's your favorite Diablo.
Oh yes, baby, it is.
I will say this: you know, I'm only in Act Two. I like it much more than Diablo 3.
Nice, hell yeah!
I like Diablo 3 as well, but
yeah.
Funny thing there's all these games, like, you know, I have that new Hot Wheels game, this and that, but, like, I am just absolutely obsessed with the Castlevania Advance Collection. I just, those games are very compelling still, and it's just such a great deal. I think I was kind of going on about that last week, but, like, I just can't believe what a great deal it is. Like, to get three awesome Metroid-style Castlevanias for $20 is just...
And a Super Nintendo write-off.
And Dracula X. You know what's funny is, like, I think we were talking about this last week, it's like, I guess, like an inferior version of Rondo? Yeah,
it's an Americanized, Westernized version of Rondo. It's like a lot of the same levels.
Shouldn't the Super Nintendo hardware be superior to. I don't know. I'm not sure either
because the TurboGrafx 16 wasn't really a 16-bit system.
Kind of an in between, right? Yeah. Like it's impressive, and I think a lot of games do look 16-bit, but
I think the thing with Dracula X is that Rondo had those like stages where you could kind of like choose.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dracula X has that. I think it's more linear, so they got rid of the choices. Like you could miss total bosses in Rondo if you chose a different path.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't face off against them. So I wonder if that's the thing. I remember playing Dracula X. It's fine. Like it plays great. It plays like a side scrolling 2D. It
feels pretty close to like Castlevania 4 in a way.
Yeah, I don't know if it has the like Castlevania 4 had that the broken whip where you could
kind of swing it around and
like it's insanely easy because of that, but
man, those GBA games, like I started with Aria of Sorrow. I think that's an amazing game. Now I'm playing through Harmony of Dissonance and it's nearly as good. I don't feel like I'm getting as many cool like abilities as I was in Aria of Sorrow all the time, but still, like, it's just so funny to me. Like, I have all these like brand new games or like really great remakes, and I'm playing GBA games. But yeah, I mean, there's not really much to say that wasn't said last week. So
I do hope that they find a way to port those DS games that are impossible to get now.
Give me all of that.
Yeah, the Wii U would have been perfect for it, but, you know, that system that exists.
Earl, what have you been playing?
Sadly, not a ton new. I think we've gone over Halo multiple times. I just tried out a game called Okana Wars. It's just a demo for like a 2D beat-em-up. I did not care for it, partially because it has the buttons reversed. I played it on the Switch, and the attack button's B and the jump button's A, or vice versa, one of those two. My brain can't wrap it around, because usually I think the jump button should be the bottom button and the attack button the side button. But whatever. and then I played more of Bug Fable, which, again, I'm still enjoying. The story's kind of picking up a bit, because we find out that one of the characters has been locked in the cave for... sounds like 100 years or so. And this new queen seems very evil and vindictive, so we're trying to figure out what's going on there. But yeah, other than that, not a ton new. Hopefully Metroid reignites something next week, or whatever it shows up at my house.
Yeah, I'm hoping mine shows up tomorrow, but we'll see. But yours shipped before mine, too, so...
Yeah, for some reason my Amiibo did not ship, though, so I'm worried about that.
No!
Yeah, I'm sad too.
Fozzy, what have you been playing in the 65 weeks since you last appeared on the
Maybe.
Show?
Maybe. Nothing. I've been working all day. Goodbye. you know, honestly, it's been... Well, okay, let's just... there's a few games I've been playing. Okay. The big one is Diablo 2, the remaster.
Yeah.
It's very good. I already have two level 70s and a level 55. Yeah.
That didn't take you very long.
No, it did not. It's kind of like riding a bike. Like, everything's starting to make sense again, and I have, like, my magic find source, so I'm just using her for getting all the items that I need for my other characters. So it's still super fun. The cool thing, too, is, like, they did such a good job with it as far as, like, really kind of honoring the old one. Like, if you press G, for example, when you're playing on PC, it switches to a legacy mode, where it's like, it's the graphics from the old game, and you can just switch in and out at will, essentially. And I just think, like, it's such a cool little feature to have in there, and it's like, a lot of the new things that they really added are just purely, like, accessibility. It's nothing else. Like, the gameplay is the same. Everything is kind of the same that I remember. It's just such a good game, man. Like, I don't know what it is about it. Like, just getting to items. It's like the epitome of a dungeon crawler to me.
Question for you and Jeff on that. So you just said about the switching the back and forth. Is the modern graphics, the resurrected visuals, are they in like 16:9? Are they widescreen?
So you can, yeah, it's in widescreen, the modern ones. The weird thing is I have an ultra wide that I play on, and it doesn't go all the way. It's like, it cuts off a little bit. It's still ultra wide, but it's not like ultra wide to what my computer is or my monitor. It's really weird. But yeah, and it's like the most hilarious thing is that there's times where I'm like, this game kind of looks the same from what I remember.
And then I press
G and I'm like, holy fuck. It looks so much better. It looks like garbage in the past. And it's like, I like that. I love the fact that they added that little thing to it. So, I mean, to me, this is the best Diablo experience. It like takes kind of the cool parts of Diablo 1 and it and Diablo 3 was just, I don't know, it was too like convoluted. I feel like there's not like a hell nightmare, like normal nightmare hell. There's like so many different difficulties and like
15 different difficulties in Diablo.
Yeah, exactly. 3. And then there's also like the runs that you can do, the Nephrim runs or whatever. And it's just like, it was so much.
And they're all, in my opinion, like from my memory, easy. Like I would keep upping the difficulty. I'm like, this is easy here.
Yeah.
It's challenging. And just the like stakes to it where you're like,
yeah.
Fuck, if I die, I gotta go back and get my shit. Like, yeah, that's cool. Like, sure. I like that.
Yeah, and the thing too is that like Diablo 3, I remember when you play it, every 5 to 10 minutes, you're switching out your weapons because you're finding new stuff that's always better than what you have, unless you're super, super end game. But like in this game, it's like, no, you are holding on to something for maybe like 10, 15 levels. So it just makes it so that when you find something that's better than that, and especially if it's like significantly better, it's an incredible feeling. Like when you find like a unique that's actually like amazing, like it just feels so fucking good. So
I had like my armor provided like 30 defense or something, and I just last night found one that jumped all the way to like 75. I was like, that's a significant improvement.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So you should give me your battle net and I can hook you with some good stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. So I've been playing mainly that. Occasionally, I've been playing some Chivalry 2. That's a nice, really fun game.
I want to try that one.
Yeah, it's, it's like a game where you don't have to really think too much. You're just like, you're there and you're just like slicing dudes' heads off and that's it. And there's not like, I mean, there is some strategy to the game, I guess, but it's a nice like balance of For Honor, I would say. And then also like a more like casual version of that.
Is it like Melee Call of Duty?
Yeah, you could say that. The most fun that I have is I hate the fucking archers with a passion. So I'm always like aggressively aggroing, like going after any archer I see that's within like a few feet of me. I'm charging them. Even if they try to shoot me, I don't care. So, yeah. And then, funny enough, I got a review code for this bus simulator game, and it's not part of the simulator like franchise, like Euro Truck Simulator and stuff. It's kind of buggy, but like there's something about it that I really like. I play that occasionally, like on my streams and stuff. You're just literally going around a city and you're a bus driver, so like you have your own routes and everything like that, and it's very good, but it has gotten a little boring. So I'm hoping that eventually you kind of find more routes and you find like you unlock different parts of the city, I think, and get different buses. But I don't know. It's like, it's really dumb, but it's like, it's a ton of fun. So
the simulator games are all like super chill and it's just like,
exactly,
just want to relax and like put some music on or something.
Yeah, for sure. It's just like another one of those games where you don't really have to think too hard. You're just going out there and It's like, it's actually legitimately funny because people, when you're the bus driver, you'll overhear the conversations people are having behind you. And it's like just the wildest shit that they put in there. So, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I think it's probably not that expensive. It's gotta be like $20, I'm sure. But, yeah, that was on Steam.
That was Bus Simulator.
Yeah, Bus Simulator. I think it's 21. But I can't be
sure. $35.
Oh my god, that's a lot of quiche for that game. I don't know if I can recommend it for 35, but and then there's this one game, I don't know if any of you have played it, but it's called Hell Let Loose, I think. Have you heard of this?
No.
It came out a couple years ago on PC, but then just came out recently on the console.
This is one of the PS5 PS Plus games this month.
Okay, so that's probably why people are talking about it. But
yeah,
actually, it looks pretty fun. It's like a 50-on-50 World War II. I guess it's like a pretty intense simulator. So I've been wanting to play that. I think I'm going to buy that this weekend, but I didn't know if you guys have played that or not yet.
Looks visually really good. So.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Nice.
So yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I've been playing.
Tony, what have you been up to?
I guess the one, I'm glad Fozzie's here for this game.
Hello. So
this game came out, I think it came out on PC like 2 years ago, but it released on Xbox and PS5 last week. It's called Phoenix Point. And it's billed as a spiritual successor to XCOM.
Oh, made by one of the XCOM one of the designers, right?
I think one of the original XCOM designers, not the one that came out from a couple years ago, but like way back. But I mean, the game is like, I don't want to call it cut rate XCOM because it kind of undersells the experience. It is slightly less than what you would expect from XCOM. It's clearly made by a smaller studio that didn't have as many resources, so it doesn't look as awesome. Mm-hmm. But like, same basic premise. So you have this team of elite soldiers facing this. It's not clear to me what's actually going on, if it's a virus or whatever, but it's like somehow infecting people, like, and mutating them into these evil creatures, which are then, you know, fighting and trying to wipe out humanity. And the leftovers of humanity are trying to somehow survive this crisis. And they've split into like three different groups, and you're like this elite team of soldiers who are trying to fight back the threat while simultaneously negotiating with these other three groups to figure out the best way to, like, you know, move forward. And it's so close to XCOM. Like, you have your team of soldiers who you can recruit and customize to look however, or be named whoever, so you can have, like, you know, your team of, you know, Fozzie, Chris, and Jeff, and Earl out there fighting under your command. And, you know, they have perks that they unlock as they level up from fighting stuff. And you enter into those tactical battles where you order your troops around and they can enter Overwatch. Like, it plays so close to XCOM. It doesn't feel like, I didn't like XCOM 2 because it felt so bloated. Like, there was so much going on, and there would, like, constantly pop-ups coming up on the screen. Like, it doesn't quite throw that much stuff at you. So it kind of plays nicely. On the other hand, like, the dialogue is all really hokey. It's not well voice acted. Like, it doesn't look as awesome. But it plays the same. You know, you're going to go out there, you research technologies, you're going to scavenge for stuff and make your troops better and manufacture equipment when you need it. Like, it's like slightly less good XCOM. So I'm enjoying the experience. It's free on Game Pass.
Oh, is it? That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So free Game Pass at launch, which is always a,
that's a plus always.
Man, yeah, Game Pass is killing it right now. There's so many games on it. I love it.
Yeah. not easy achievements though. If you're looking to hop in and get a bunch, that's not going to happen for you.
My chivos.
You'll get them eventually, but it'll
take strategy more. Games are always tough for them though. They want you to kill like 7 billion enemies.
Right. They never seem to be built around getting a lot of achievements quickly. It's like, oh, you could get all the achievements in this game if you want to play it for 500 hours.
Yeah. Good luck. Anything else, Tony?
Let's see. I finished my second season in Madden. Yes, I lost one of my playoff games due to a internet connection error.
Oh, no.
Sorry to hear that.
Wait, an internet connection error during your single-player season.
Yes.
Cost you a playoff game.
A playoff game that I won 77 to nothing.
Oh, no.
Hey, time to up that.
My second try was not nearly as good. I still won, but it was not 77 to nothing. Over the Dolphins. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, so I mean, that's easy to do, I guess.
And I played a little bit more of Grand Tactician, the American Civil War. Everyone should play that game of the year. It's great.
Did you play any of the Battlefield 2042 beta?
I did. I got on that Wednesday night. Have you played it? You finally got. So that's the hilarious part to me. This was the first time ever playing an EA beta of any kind that I literally got in on the first try. No problems, no issues. I got in, loaded up a game, and played.
To be fair to EA, like me saying I finally got in, like I was evidently trying to get in before it actually gone live. Walt said it was available. I tried to play it, and it kept saying, you don't have EA Play. That's because it wasn't live yet.
No, it was smooth. No issues at all. Obviously, you're playing a beta, and there's going to be some weird, like, stuff blowing up that doesn't blow up or whatever. Yeah. That kind of weird stuff.
Some falling through the environment. And
right. But my God, that game is visually stunning.
Yeah.
It looks absolutely fantastic. Of course, I'm playing it on Series X, so, you know, you've got that going for it. But it looked great. And it's got the same Battlefield insanity that you expect.
Yeah, like, that was the first thing I noticed when I jumped in.
There's stuff going on everywhere. Everything's blowing up. You're like, I died. I don't know why I died, but I'm dead now.
People flying planes and helicopters and jumping out of helicopters. And
yep. And then the helicopter falling on you, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, I missed that. I love those games for that very reason. And it kind of has that, going back to like Battlefield 4, it kind of feels like that. Like, it feels good to be back in that environment. I don't know how much you messed around with like the weapons. I love the customization.
Okay. So I only played with the default settings for the different classes.
So even with the default settings, you can mess with what's on your gun. Even before you've leveled up. Yes.
Okay.
Because Walt was playing around with the controls, he figured
out how that might have helped for my sniper, who like went in to like, if you just play like stock,
the default doesn't have a scope.
There's no scope. I'm like, this is useless.
Yes, but no, you can't actually just take that gun and just like switch the settings so you have a scope, and you could do it on the fly. So you like, you could spawn your character and you're like, oh fuck, I don't have a scope, and you could change that.
Okay, that would have that. I should. I mean, I was just fucking around to see what it looked like.
Yeah, yeah. So you can mess with that, and you can change a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you can change how the stock is. You can change what sight you have, the kind of barrel on your gun. Like, there's like four different things about each gun that you can change. So whatever your preference happens to be. Apparently, what was that?
Sorry, nothing.
What was that sound? every character is, it's like character based, which I don't really understand yet. Like, each character can be leveled up and doesn't have a class. Like, you can switch the class that you're playing like the character with. So like, you can play with your ghillie suit guy who's supposed to be a sniper and switch him to assault or engineer or whatever. I don't get that part yet. I mean, maybe it will make more sense going forward, but I was really
happy.
That
is like a big thing in Call of Duty now, right? They have like their operatives, and like you can play as like maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how it feels. But I'm really excited. I have this game pre-ordered, and I feel really good about my pre-order now. This game's gonna be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. The map was huge and awesome, and there were so many different parts to it. I don't know if there's more than one map in the beta. We only played two matches, and I think they were on the same map.
Was it the one with the rocket?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only one I saw. So.
Yeah, so.
All right. All right, here's a question for you, because it was something I noticed, but the map seemed very, like, almost like you need a vehicle to traverse.
Especially the opening.
They're like massive. Like that field is massive.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of empty space there. Like once the match gets underway and you'll have like taken the point to the center, then you can spawn there.
Yeah.
But before then, it's a long walk.
Yeah.
A long, long walk. And if you wait to spawn, like all the vehicles are gone. You're like, oh.
Yeah, they're
no tank for me, no helicopter, no
Jeep. And there'll be like a dude that jumps into like a Jeep with a gun on the back or whatever and drives the hell away, just him.
Yeah.
No, it's just like in Halo where they'll take the Warthog and not have a gunner. It's like, I just want to get where I'm going as fast as possible, not play as a team.
Yeah.
Just frustrating because you're playing with 64 other people this time around. So
and that kind of stuff is a lot worse in the beta. Like if you're actually playing for real, like you don't worry about stuff like I'm down and there's 12 people standing around me not reviving me. That doesn't normally happen when you're actually playing.
Yeah.
I do like they kept the I think it's the last Battlefield game, the where you can revive anybody as anybody. Mm-hmm. That's still in there. So you don't necessarily
The medic just did it quicker, right?
Yeah. So everybody has their little paddles that they whip out and zap you back to life.
Is they happy?
I'm gonna keep my eye on it. It's $70, isn't it?
What? Oh yeah. This is a PS5 game or something. Sorry.
Yeah, PS5 Series X. Like, yeah, you can also get it on PS4 and Xbox One. But they are not compatible with each other. So, like, if you're playing there, you're not like there are some games that you can play Xbox One and partner with somebody who's playing on Series X. This is not one of them. The two versions are different. I mean, I think it's these maps. Tony, you can correct me if I'm off on this. There are 128 people.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Like way bigger than what PS4 and Xbox One have on their end. Because I think they're 64. Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye on it. If you guys end up like we're gonna be playing this a ton, yeah, I will jump in on it.
Nice.
Anything else, Tony?
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, so we talked about Battlefield, which was one of the betas. I also played the Halo Infinite third tech test, which was big team battle this time. That I am not a big team battle player unless I'm playing with you guys. Like I think the only time I've ever played big team battle is when I was playing with like Fozzie and Jeff and Tony.
Damn.
Yeah. And I normally just play like four player, regular Slayer. I'm playing, and big team battle in the past has been what 6-on-6, 8-on-8 maybe.
Yeah,
it is bigger than that now. I believe it is 16-on-16 or 12v12, which is not it's not Battlefield massive, but it's bigger. There's more going on. The map that they had in the tech test is way bigger than anything that I've ever played Halo on before. And it's a ton of fun. The aiming still felt a little off, but with so many people and so much going on, it didn't bother me as much. Simply because you can be a little wild with your aiming when you have like five other people helping you shoot at people as well. Whereas if you're playing Slayer or regular, Capture the Flag or the Zone one that they have, if you're you're the only one at that point, and two people roll up on you, and your aiming is off, you're dead. In this one, it didn't feel bad. Vehicles are there. They had all the vehicles. You know, the Scorpion tank even drops down at one point, and you're blowing the hell out of everything. That game is going to be a blast when it comes out in December. So I'm looking forward to playing that a lot. Let's see, the other demo I played, that Stranger in Paradise Final Fantasy Origin.
Oh, right, I was supposed to download that.
Earl, you're the one who told me about it.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'm going to download it to try it, and yeah.
Well, two things here. So it's a longer demo than the first one that came out over the summer, but the first part of it is that same demo, and I actually saw a bunch of people quit because, like, I've already played this. Like, you have to get through that first boss fight, to get to the second area. That game's fine, and it's gonna be goofy as shit. I'm sure you've all seen the clip of,
yes, oh my god,
yeah, yes. This is bullshit, and walks away, turning on like what sounds like you know, rap '90s. Late '90s, early 2000s rap metal. it is some absurd shit going on in that game, and I don't know what it is, but there's like a goofy ass charm to it.
I mean, if they're getting into it, yes, all for that.
yeah, they're leaning. It's hard into it too. Like, it's. Like that scene there, which you don't get in the original demo, because it's a cutscene after you beat who you think is Chaos. It is absurd there. And then they like do this like weird team bonding thing, which they do multiple times where they all put their hands in the middle and like basically like, go team. Like, it's so dumb. The game plays fun. It kind of plays like Ninja Gaiden. It's by that team. It's by Team Ninja. Or what is Neo? Is that the game that they did? Kind of the Dark Souls-ish type game.
Yeah.
Same concept here, right? Like you get to these points that are basically what are they? Bonfires, like in Dark Souls. And like if you use the bonfire or the save point, it'll restore your health potions and your health, but it'll also respawn enemies behind you. I'm not sure why you'd need to go backwards, but if you do, if you're going to explore, because there are chests and stuff to get, those enemies are back. And I guess you could use it to grind out, you know, levels for your different classes and stuff. I don't know. That game is really, really weird, but I think I'm going to get it when it comes out next year. So.
Nice. Cool.
And briefly, I touched on one other thing. The games with gold this month, there's a game called Aero, AEERO. It's an on rails rhythm shooter, like it's a music based rhythm shooter game. And those are like words that are like, this sounds really cool to me. And then I played it and it's like, this is fucking impossible. I got through the first level. And then I played it for like another 45 minutes and I could not beat the first actual level after the tutorial.
Oh no.
And so I quickly deleted it. But if that sounds like something you're into, like something brutal, like difficult on rails type shooter thing that you have to play to the music, it's there. It's free. Games with Gold.
Great.
I don't think
you sound very excited.
I mean,
great. Great.
Yeah.
There you go. That's better.
Better. That's very much better. There's also a Castlevania game out there. Whatever that Castlevania HD is. Mm-hmm. I think it's 4-player side scrolling kind of Symphony of the Night type thing. Earl, do we have any news? I know you had the one. You had the trailer.
Yes. We have a bit of news. I don't think any of us are actually huge fans, but Sora was announced as the final character for Smash Brothers Ultimate this week.
And yes.
Neat, I guess.
I mean, I'm happy that it seems to have been a thing that people are excited for, and it was something that people gravitated towards. But yeah, I don't think any of us have a fondness for Kingdom Hearts here.
I like Kingdom Hearts, just I have no, I don't care about Smash. So.
Okay. I forgot if we talked about this last week or not, but Universal has announced an expansion to Super Mario World with Donkey Kong for 2024. And then this week, because even though it's a Nintendo IP, it's operated separately, they also announced that they're also going to work with the Pokemon Company and incorporating parts of Pokemon into Universal Japan. And I assume some of that stuff will start coming over here as well.
So our Mario
opens in
land hasn't opened, right? It opens next year.
I thought it was 2023.
Oh, wow. So two years out.
Yeah, very...
10 years from now.
Theme parks open up a long time. And just to back up with the Sora thing, I guess, is they also announced that all the Kingdom Hearts games will be coming to the Switch at some point in some distant future.
Isn't it like the Cloud? Cloud version.
Yes. Which I kind of got that from Kingdom Hearts 3. Not so much the two collections, which were originally PS3 games. I'm pretty sure they can run on the Switch.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is 1.5 and 2.5 Remix are, it's almost a 60 gig download.
And that was my thinking too. It's like Square just wants to be cheap and not have the bigger. But even then, you could do a hybrid of it or just make them digital only.
Right. And I wonder, because there are games that are, like FIFA is like 32 gigs. So there are games that take up the entire internal storage. And most people have an SD card, right? Like,
I got one, but fuck, it fills up easy.
Yeah, I didn't.
Mine's like 100 something gigs. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't realize that doubled it, even though that only makes it 64. And then I think I have like a 400 gig card somewhere around that I'm just going to put in my new system. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. But again, I think it's more because even with a lot of the games, a lot of people kind of stick to like the 16 gig SD cartridge, which is why a lot of games, I think Borderlands is an example where it's like, you'll have one game on the card and everything else is just a download code to get the rest. Is nobody wants to go up and increase the price of that thing.
Meanwhile, like the Nintendo games, like I think the new Metroid's like 4 gigs. It's like, I don't know.
Nintendo for the last few generations has been really good at just kind of keeping their file sizes down. Part of it is because of the lack of internal storage, but they've also done I think Breath of the Wild is probably the biggest, either that or Xenoblade, and that's still like 12 or 13 gigs.
Okay.
Other than that, I honestly don't think there's anything other than, this is not news, but I did find it funny, is that Sony, I always forget the guy's name, Ryan something, or something Ryan from Sony, was Jim Ryan. There we go.
Jim Ryan, yeah.
It was like, yeah, you know, like they want to open up the PlayStation library for other people, and they want, you know, maybe their games could sell hundreds of millions of units. And I'm like, I don't know if any game has sold hundreds of millions of units.
Like what, GTA maybe?
Technically not hundreds of millions. I think it's still under 200 million.
Yeah, so it hasn't sold multiple hundreds yet.
Yeah, so tens of millions. And I looked it up. I did not realize this. There's only two PlayStation titles, as far as I can tell, and I mean Sony titles, that have sold over 20 million, and they're kind of right at the border, which is Spider-Man and The Last of Us Remastered, which, I mean, either unofficial, I don't know Sony's official numbers, are like at 20 million. So even when he was like 10 million, so I'm like, I think you should start there, because I didn't realize like how many of your exclusive are just kind of borderline. Not that, don't get me wrong, they sell great, but like I think Microsoft has several, and I definitely know Nintendo has several that have sold 20, if not 30 million units, and then that goes up with, you know, some of the pack-ins like Wii Sports and Super Mario Brothers and Tetris, but those are a different beast.
And the Resident Evil trailer hit today.
Yes, Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City, which is out in cinemas on November 24th, 2021. So just about 6 weeks away, 6-7 weeks.
Yeah. Dan, I mean, obviously, Earl, you watched it. Jeff, I know you saw it. Fozzie, Tony, have you guys seen the trailer?
No.
Jeff, what'd you think?
I mean, I thought it looked kind of cool. Like, it's doing what, like, people like me have asked them to do, which is, like, kind of try to stick to the... Like, those Paul... What is it? Paul W.S. Anderson? Is that the director?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, those, I only saw the first one, but it was, like, it didn't really feel at all like... Like Resident Evil, like it felt. I mean, Resident Evil's all kind of built towards being action movies near the end of them, but it just kind of felt like that throughout, and just didn't feel like based on the games as much. This, like, you could tell it's like they're really sticking to like, one and two kind of.
There's like straight up shots from the game.
Yeah. The very, like, infamous shot from the first one where it's, like, there's, like, a zombie eating someone on the floor and he turns around, like, the very famous shot.
Yep.
That's, like, recreated perfectly in this movie, in the trailer.
Can I just say, I get that and I think it's cool, but part of it is also, like, I just, like, I'm like, oh, this does not look really good. Like, the zombie makeup, which I guess, you know, like, Resident Evil doesn't have really overdone. It just looks really weird, and it kind of makes it like just like a really deformed face more than like they're the undead or anything like that.
I need to watch it again because I watched it on my phone while I was at work, and so it's like hard to see shit anyways. But like, yeah, I saw so many people saying it looks like shit. It looks cheesy. It looks like straight to video shit. But like, that's part of that is evil. Like that's I know that's like I'm like then they nailed it like that's. Remember the original Resident Evil? How bad that shit like I don't know, like
I feel like people forget that the original Resident Evil was in its way paying homage to B horror movies to begin with, which is why if you translate it to an actual movie, it's gonna come off like a B horror movie because that is exactly its inspiration. Which again is I think part of the reason why people are like, oh, you know, like we should take Resident Evil and put it into a movie. In their head, they're thinking of like this, like they're thinking of something like this huge production values, and it's gonna be. But it's like, no, if you translate Resident Evil 1-to-1, and not just the first game, any game in the franchise, it is gonna be really dumb because the games are really dumb. I like them, but they are dumb games.
Yeah, and yeah, you know me, like even Resident Evil, I don't play for the story at all. Like I vaguely get what's going on in those games, but like, I don't know. It looked. I would watch this one. I'm not going to go to the theater to see it or anything, but I would watch it.
There, day one.
Are you? I never, like, you've seen all the...
I have, yes.
The Anderson movies, and again, I've only seen the first one. I don't really care for or need movie adaptations of video games, no. But I would watch this one. This would be like a it'll be a rental or something when it comes out for me.
It does look like it's maybe a mix of Resident Evil 1 and 2, maybe 3 as well. I'm not sure. It would only make sense to include parts of 3 because that takes place at the same time as 2. But
yeah.
And then some parts, so they're padding it out because it looks like some, like, it's so weird because, again, like, some of the characters I felt like having the ML kid play, is he Chris?
Who's playing him?
What is it? Not Steve in ML. What's the other ML name?
Didn't recognize any of the, whoever the fuck was in it.
Oh, it's cousin. Robbie ML. Yes, he's playing Chris Redfield.
And I was like, okay, I don't know. Like, the way they made him, I don't know. It was weird, but I will check it out. I mean, I've seen all of the movies, good, bad, or evil. And yeah, it looks cheesy, it looks fun. I don't know if I'll be there in theaters for it, but, you know, like, at home or video on demand, sure. It is. This is also, I think, the Thanksgiving weekend movie. So it comes out the day before Thanksgiving. So that's a Wednesday, if anybody's interested in that. I will also say, and this is slightly unrelated, but I'm also just a fan. I'm a fan of this in video games as well. But of people just shortening these hype cycles, this movie's out in less than 2 months. It's the first, and we've seen stills of it when we've seen the poster, we knew it existed. But this is like the first trailer. I assume we'll get like one trailer probably closer to the end of October or November. And then like commercials and stuff like that. I am kind of over like the long marathon sprints of like, here's a teaser, here's a teaser to the teaser. Here's a here's like we're gonna do a week of meet up of posters to reveal you the teaser for the trailer that's out next week. I'm like, I'm okay with having like these 2 or 3 month sprint marathon, these sprint marketing campaigns versus this all out. We are going to bombard you with everything about this movie until you think it's.
Here's a 1 year delay. Sorry, I'm still bitter about Halloween.
Oh, I mean,
which we've now seen about 45 minutes off.
That was canceled,
we know the entire plot of Halloween Kills through TV spots and trailers at this point.
As I say, you complain about Halloween Kills. I mean, No Time to Die is going to be 23 months away from its official release. I mean, I guess it's out today or yesterday, whatever. I'll see it sometime this weekend. But I'm like, yeah, it's like one of those things. And that's why one of the reasons I was happy when WB did the HBO Max stuff. It's like, okay, like for once, we're going to have movies that have these firm dates and those dates are not going to move. And none of their movies moved. Because even within this year, we still had a lot of things shuffled. Black Widow got pushed back. Shang-Chi got pushed back. Venom got pushed back, then pushed forward. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I was happy that WB, like, this is our movies. They're not going anywhere. And they have not gone anywhere. For better or looking at their box office worse, they just stuck to their game. So,
I was actually surprised when you said you would be on tonight, Earl. I thought you would be going to see Bond.
I was so going to, but I'm like, I don't, because I feel like I'm going to probably miss next week's show.
How dare you?
I'm in the city next week. So, I mean, I'm in the city over the weekend, so I'm like, I'll just check it out then. I would go tomorrow, but I was an idiot, and we can talk about this next week, or I guess not. And I just ordered my Switch OLED, and I just assumed it was shipping to me this entire time.
Oh, it's at the store?
Yeah, and I think I just it was probably one of those things where I didn't even think about it. It's like, okay, whatever. And it's not a store I typically go to because I'm going into the office tomorrow. And the one I would go to is just like a bus ride away. I would have just gone, got it there and come home. This one is the opposite side of Brooklyn that is actually super remote for anything. So I'm going to have to probably come home and like I guess I could take a car from work and then pick it up and then take a car home. Because it's about, even though it's not that far, it's like a 20-minute ride, it's about maybe a 45-50-minute thing on public transportation. Speaking of the devil, just got the email that my order's ready for pickup.
There you go.
So at least I know it's there. So yes, that will be on next week's show, if I show up.
Which you won't.
Enjoy Bond when you go see it.
This is unrelated, but what are you folks doing for Halloween Kill?
I'm going to be seeing it next Thursday.
I am debating on what I'm doing.
Okay.
Because it's going to be on Peacock, which I have.
Yeah.
But I think I also want to see it on the big screen, so...
Yeah, I'm tempted. I'm curious. I mean, part of me is because part of the reason I was going to miss next week is I was originally going to go to see Halloween Kills, and I realized I double booked myself, so I'm going to like some vampire like interactive experience in the city. Probably we'll see how that works out. But I'm like, oh man. So if I don't see it open at night, it's there on Peacock. I get to see it on Friday, but then I feel bad for the friend. I'm like, oh yeah, we should go see Halloween Kills with. So.
It's just, I've gotten to see so few Halloween movies in the theater, or not few, at this point it's probably a half dozen, but it's like, the ones I've seen are like the not as good ones.
Yeah, you saw what, like,
yeah.
maybe six?
Six was the first one I saw in the theater.
Yeah, and you know, like H2O, Resurrection.
I will say, like, when I saw H2O in the theaters, I thought that was like the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But, you know, you watch it now, it's not the best thing ever. But The last one was really awesome in the theater, and from what I hear, this one is way insane violent, so I really want to see it in the theater. I want to see the people react to it and stuff.
Yeah, like, I want that experience, but I also don't want to, like, go to a packed theater. It's like, which my problem with Bond, like, this weekend is...
That was the other reason I'm not going on opening night. It's like, yeah, I want to go, like, ideally, I would go on, like, a Tuesday afternoon at, like, 1 p.m., but...
Like, I saw Venom today, there was, like, 4 people in the theater, so it was, like, right after I was done work.
Damn. That movie just came out, too.
Yeah, but like, nobody's going on, like, a Thursday afternoon at 4:45.
Yeah, and that's right. The thing. It's like, that's why, like, I mean, ideally, I could still do this, is, like, what I would do in an ideal before pandemic time is, like, I would wait until, like, not this coming week, but the week next week, I'd take off, like, the Wednesday, and I just find a movie theater I can hit all 3 movies in the afternoon, because it's less crowded, and it's easier to kind of navigate the schedule then, which is my way of saying it's easier for me to sneak into movies, but...
Sure.
I feel like I want to see Venom, and I want to see No Time to Die. We're off on Monday. I might go see Venom on Monday, but I want to see No Time to Die this weekend. And I think I'm in the city Saturday with some friends for board games in the afternoon. So I'm like, there's a movie theater like maybe 10 minutes away. Once we're done, I'll just see what time the next showing is and hop on and do that. So I'm excited. It's also a 3-hour song.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long. That could change my plans for when I see it.
It's okay.
I'm not a big enough fan.
I am going to go see Lamb in theaters this weekend, though.
I'm interested to see what you say. I want to see it. I want to see Halloween in a packed house. I don't give a shit. I'll suck up that COVID. Love it.
Oh, my God.
Great, Jeff.
And I literally just checked, and it looks like it's about 23 tickets sold so far, which is pretty good a week out.
Like how big's your theater?
I'd say that's probably like almost half of it sold out already. Yeah.
Like if it stayed at that, I'd probably be okay if I could sit like not with somebody sitting on top of me. Which
they're gonna do it. They're gonna be on top of you. If you go opening night, it's gonna be sold out, I think.
I went to. I think
I want to go to the Urban Meyer Theater.
God.
What was the latest Fast and Furious movie? Was it Fast 9?
Yes.
F9
to Fast.
F9. Yes. I saw that one. There was like. It was in their biggest theater, which seats like maybe 200, 250 people. It's some motherfucker sat next to me. Like, there was only like 25 people in the theater. You don't need to sit on top of me. Like, go elsewhere. Okay. I don't see anything else like big news wise. Fozzie, what are you up to? You said you were streaming on Twitch, which I guess that is news. Not you streaming on Twitch, although people should go watch your streams.
Thank you.
You're always playing like super chill games like House Flipper or
yes.
Mop a House or something like that.
Yeah, House Flipper is very good. Mop a House. House Flipper is very good. I've been doing a little bit of a Mass Effect run too. You know, I'm doing a variety of streams per the. That is the hotness. I don't like playing one game only, you know? I can mix it up.
Any concerns over the Twitch data breach that just happened?
Not for me personally. I'm not too worried about it. I already had like the 2-factor verification essentially, so
mm-hmm.
You know. It sucks, but it was an old password anyways I was using, so it was like kind of a good excuse to review my passwords and stuff. So, yeah, kind of sucks, but it's what it is, I guess.
Well, what is your Twitch name so people listening can?
It is Hey, It's Fozzie.
There you go.
Pretty easy.
Go watch Fozzie. I think you even had a schedule up at some point. I'm not sure if you're.
I did. Primarily, it's been Tuesday, Fridays, and Sundays are the days I try to stream. So, yeah, I should be streaming tomorrow.
All right, go watch Fozzie, and we should find a game to play with Fozzie, Tony.
Yes, you should. Yeah. You should. Okay. Do you guys play PC at all, or do you guys do
console? I can.
PC.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on what we want to play.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, you just let me know and we'll do it.
All right. Earl, you may not be with us next week. And Jeff, you may not be with us next week.
I'll probably be joining, you know.
A little bit late.
Yeah, start without me.
All right. Well, we'll see what's happening next week. But if we are all here, we'll have Metroid, Earl's OLED.
Am I even getting this?
Think so?
Oh yes.
Okay. I mean, I have no shame. I've had no shame. I said the same thing I asked you on this podcast. Is that like, we've been in a pandemic for 2 years. I've had to say I don't have kids. I don't have a significant other. I've got nothing to do but save money the past 2 years. So throwing it on the system is why I got the Sirius X. If Sony was ever in stock, I might even be tempted to get one of those.
If they ever were.
It is the ideal bachelor life. You got money. You've got nothing with time and money to spend it on. So, and this is an upgrade over my non-system, better battery life and better screen. But
that's true.
But yes,
that should be fun.
I already have two Switches in the house, so
I have to figure out one more, bud.
I got to figure out what to do with my other one because I was gonna give it to my nephew, but he doesn't want it now. So I guess I could sell it, but I hate selling systems.
Yeah. Oh, is so your nephew that would come to your house and play like 14 different games and he was there?
No, he's had a Switch. It's one of my older nephews.
Got it.
Because he asked to borrow it a few weeks ago. I'm like, oh, all right, because when I went to DC, he had stopped by and he was asking to borrow it. I'm like, oh, but I take it with me on vacation because of course. But I'm like, oh, I can give it to him once I get the OLED. And then I asked him, I saw him this weekend. And he's like, oh, no, my brother has one now. So I'm like, okay. So, I mean, I still prefer him to have his own system, but if he doesn't want it, I'm not going to force it on him.
Take it. Take the system. all right. Well, we will be back in some capacity next week. Fozzie, thank you for coming on, thanks for having me, man.
It's been too long. Happy to pop in whenever you need me.
I guess before we leave, Tony, you did not talk about Urban Meyer.
Talk to me.
I think we need to say that he shouldn't be a NFL head coach anymore. I mean, I think we have to go that far.
It seems like every week he has some new bullshit going on. So he'll just go from one of my teams to another one to USC. So right. It'll be
It's 4 games into the season, but he started off by hiring that trainer. He brought Tim Tebow in and made like his entire training camp a sideshow. His team is 0-4, and now he's having like sex scandals where he's not fly. Like, what head coach does not fly back on the team plane?
It's very
weird. You've got like every other NFL head coach is like an hour after the game. I am game planning for my next opponent. What's Urban Meyer doing? He's got some woman grinding on him in a bar. Like that is not an NFL head coach. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not looking great for old Urban. So it seems like he's already trying to lose the locker room, which is pretty insane.
No, I will say I was a fan of his excuse is that he went to a party and he was trying to leave and they were just encouraging him. And I'm just like, and then the video came out and it's like, oh yes, you're really trying your hardest to leave that party.
And that whole non-apology thing he came out with right after, like it was pathetic all the way around. It was bad.
I didn't even know who he was until this week, and then it came out, and then like I just been following bits and pieces of it because it was like he apologized, and then like his locker room is turned against him, and like you said, he's 0-4, so it's not even like if he was 4-0, it would be a scandal, but I think the team would find some way to kind of make it work,
right?
But if you're a losing team and you're a massive distraction, it's very hard to see how you keep your job.
Is
and it's not like he's not just the head coach, right? He is head of all football operations for the Jaguars. Like, he's in charge of everything. And this is what he's doing.
My boy.
Is he on the team plane going to London in 2 weeks?
Probably, because I don't see how the owner can, like, having given him all this money at this point, can fire him before that.
I don't know. Like, right? It's the cons. They own the Jaguars, right?
Yeah. No, they're stuck with him for this season. Like, should he be on the plane? No. Will he be on the plane? Absolutely, he will.
Fair enough. Well, Fozzie, I am sorry that you are saddled with that
real
there
at all times.
But just take heart. You will likely get your, if you don't win this week, which probably isn't going to happen. Although the Titans did just lose to the Jets, so anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
I really want to see Bill Belichick as an NFL owner, because Bill Belichick would have fired his ass. Belichick ends up in these situations where he's like,
"It's just like
I've got Cam Newton. Man. He's really good. He's expensive, but he's gone. Gilmore, he's gone." Like the moment, it's like there's no upside in this situation.
It's
bad
really
money after good. You're out.
It really is. Yeah.
But nobody makes these decisions in the NFL, and other than Bill Belichick, he's the only one willing to do it.
Yeah.
Make him the owner.
It's a shame, but I cannot believe that Doug Marrone is going to have a longer career than Urban Meyer, but here we are. So,
well, enjoy your first victory against the Dolphins in London.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Because that'll happen. Because they are bad.
They are, but the Jaguars are also bad. So you never know what might happen.
It's true.
You never know.
It's a toss-up game.
It really is.
I would say at least we're not the Bears, but they have two wins now. So
yeah. Well, listen, I've got Jalen Waddle though on my fantasy football team, so maybe there's still hope for you. God willing.
So I mean, I hope they don't ruin him like they've ruined every other good receiver that's gone through that that program down there. But all right,
Jeff is like, I got 35 minutes. You folks are keeping.
Oh, yeah,
talk for 35 minutes and then stop immediately. That's what he's thinking.
Just, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Oh, it's out at midnight?
I guess.
Yeah. On the digital.
Baby.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's been pretty consistent with that since Wii U. Their launches come out midnight Eastern time, which is usually great for West Coast because it's 9 p.m. their time. It's the third parties that is always really weird because sometimes
you never know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's midnight and it's like 3 p.m. the next day.
Yeah. I forget who it was this week. It might have been for Nickelodeon, Nick All Star Brawl, where like somebody put out a chart where it's like, okay, it's out your local time. And that's if you're in America, then it's out at 12 a.m. Eastern, but not if you're, and it's like, why do you need a chart to figure out what time a game comes out? But it's out now, and is anybody picking that up?
I was thinking about it, but not for me.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's why I'm curious about it, because I've seen videos and clips of it, and it's like, it's very much catering to the hardcore players who want like the wave dash in and like the quick fighting, yeah. And I'm just like, that's, I don't mind that, but I'm like, everything you would think on paper is like, if somebody was like, oh, we're gonna do a matchup of Nickelodeon cartoons and have them fight, I'm thinking kids game,
yes.
Not a game catered to 30 somethings and 40 somethings who can't go over a game that's 20 years old at this point.
When they brought in all the Avatar characters, like, my kids love Avatar. I'm like, oh, maybe, but it's gonna be hard.
And here's the thing, because I watched it, and again, I think one of the things that people forget about Smash Brothers, and I think this kind of goes for a lot of Nintendo properties in general, is Smash Brothers is, I mean, they're calling it Spade a Spade, it's fan service first. And I feel like this game missed it, because the music in it is really generic.
Oh, no.
I mean, you would think, oh man, you have all these cartoons with very popular theme songs. songs. Like, that should be their intro music or something.
That should be like the laid over the levels and like everywhere.
Yes, and then it's like none of the characters are voiced, which again I think is such a weird thing coming from the world of where all of these characters have very distinct voices. I'm not saying they should have monologues, but they give them. I posted a video where somebody just took clips from the TV shows and added it, and it adds so much to the environment. As far as I know, it's not a proper story mode. It just seems like it's one of those games.
It kind of sounds like a cash grab. The more you talk about it.
It seems like it's a core fundamentally sound game that they only had time to focus on the game and nothing else. It has none of the frills and none of the bells and whistles, which is kind of what you want from these type of crossover things. It's like yes, it's great that the core is great, but I want to see these stages that are like really reminiscent of these cartoons, and I want to hear music that I understand not having a theme song constantly, because some of those songs, if I listen to them for like 3 minutes in a row, is going to drive me nuts. but have like instrumental versions of the theme songs, the music that plays when they're fighting and stuff like that. It's such a weird mashup, and I'm just like, but I still kind of want to try it. But yeah, I mean, I've said it before with the character selection, is that I think it's weird because like the character selection is very much for us. Like I look at most of the characters, like, yeah, I know Reptar, I know, you know, I know the Ninja Turtles, I know April O'Neil, I know Obin from Our Real Monsters, you know, stuff like that. But like if you were to actually get stuff from like the past, I'd even say the past 10 or 15 years, it would be the Avatar characters, which is right on the border, because I think Avatar is like probably 16 years old now.
Yeah.
I think SpongeBob is just eternally associated with everything. I mean, SpongeBob's been running consistently for 22 years now?
Oh, God.
And then I think there's somebody from the Loud House. And that's about it. Everybody else is like either 90s or really early 2000s. And I'm just like, I get it. Like these are the people who are going to talk about the game, but they're also the first people who are going to get bored of it and complain that, oh, I can't do X, Y, and Z. Why is this so? This shouldn't be $40. Like, if you made it a kid's game, that tended to be good. People can find it that way. But whatever. Whatever.
We'll be back next week, Jeff. Say good night.
Good night.